Can you turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 10? We're turning this morning to John chapter 10, and we're reading the first 10 verses of that chapter. John chapter 10, and beginning to read from verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him that porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And God will add the blessing to the reading of his holy word. Dear congregation, a few years ago at a wedding, I believe in the Western Isles, there were a great crowd of people gathered together at this wedding celebration. And in those days they used to sing psalms, and psalms only. And there were two beautiful singers in the congregation. And the minister asked, would the ladies sing the 23rd psalm? One of them had such a technical ability. She hit all the right notes, and people were just taken aback at the talent of this woman and how she was expressing herself. The other girl was less known, equally a beautiful singer. But the response of the congregation was very different. You see, every person was moved. There wasn't a dry eye in the congregation. People were overwhelmed with emotion that this girl conveyed. And the minister was speaking to one of his friends afterwards, and the friend didn't know the girls. And he said, what was the difference? And he smiled. The minister, who knew the two girls, he said, one knew how to sing about the shepherd. The other knew the shepherd who she was singing about. And when you think of Psalm 23, as Brother Cliff, the Lord worked that one out. I had chosen the hymns last week. But the Lord, here in this parable, is using images and pictures that even children can understand. We live in a land. We've moved to a land full of sheep. Everywhere we go, we see sheep. Some cities, people in cities wouldn't recognize the imagery here. Some of us have grown up in rural backgrounds. And here the Lord Jesus using an everyday example to teach deep spiritual truth. This, of course, is our little series on the I Ams of Christ. The first week we looked at I am the bread of life. We saw that without Christ, without his sufficiency, we are in desperate need. Last week, if you remember, we looked at Christ as the light of the world. And what is the reason for the Church of Jesus Christ to be still on earth? To be a light amongst the darkness. What is the reason that Christians are not suddenly translated when they're converted to be a light among the darkness? If you're a Christian here this morning, then your sufficiency is of Christ, our sufficiency of Christ. And our role is to shine forth as lights of the gospel in these days. So this morning, we come to not look at the light or the bread. We come to look at the door. Next week, we look at the good shepherd. But the door. The Lord Jesus says twice in this short section, he says in verse 7, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." And in case you missed it, in verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Now, there are two groups of people here whom the Lord is preaching to. The first group are the religious. They're mentioned in this passage. The other are those who are followers of Christ. Some of them were secretly following Christ, but some of them were publicly following Christ. But both groups, the Lord Jesus preaches to, and yet as he preaches, people's responses are seen. Verse 19, "There was a division therefore among the Jews for these sayings." Now, why was the division among the Jews? Why were the religious people at sixes and sevens? Politicians today are at sixes and sevens. It's no different than Jesus' day. The politicians were the religious leaders. Why are they at sixes and sevens? Because of that very clear declaration by our Lord here in this chapter and in this context, "I am." And we saw together that Christ is claiming none other than to be equal with God the Father. Not to be the same as God the Father. He is not the same person as God the Father. That's a fallacy. That's a wrong teaching today. Jesus Christ is not another aspect of God the Father. He is distinct as a person from God the Father, and yet he is equal in divinity or deity. He is God the Son become man. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So let's look at these texts just for a few moments this morning. And I want us to look under three headings, very simple headings, and I trust they'll encourage us just to remember who Christ is, and I trust we'll also learn some things as well. The first point I want us to think about this morning is Jesus Christ is the only door, or I put it like this, the only door, our shepherd. Now, it's very interesting how this whole passage from verse 1 down to verse 18 is a direct transcript, if you like, or an accurate record of Christ's words, except for verses 6 and part of verse 7, where John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us that this is a parable. Now, if the children have heard before, I'm sure they've heard that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning and a heavenly purpose. The Lord Jesus loved telling parables. Perhaps another famous parable about sheep is the lost sheep in Luke 15. And the Lord Jesus here is telling a parable, and John tells us why, taking our Lord's own words previously from Matthew. He says, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. In other words, what the Lord is doing here is teaching spiritual truth, but only those with spiritual minds and spiritual hearts will understand what Jesus is saying. Now, this parable, Jesus, I need to say this. The Lord Jesus is using the word here for thoros, gate or door. But he is not saying, I am a door. He is not saying, I am a big old wooden door that you might find on a castle or on a big old church building. He is using this picture to help his congregation understand that he is the only door. Notice what he says in verse 7. I am the door. In grammatical terms, that's the definite article. He's not a door. He's not another option. It's not as if you've got many doors in front of you and you can choose any of them. Jesus Christ is saying here, I am the door. The door. Where is he the door to? Well, in verse 1, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And we'll look at these false teachers in a moment. But verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Where is this door to? Well, our translators translate the word sheepfold. But in the original language, the word is ole, which can be translated as a yard, a mansion, a courtyard of a mansion, a hall, or even a sheepfold. And in Jesus' day, there would have been large houses with courtyards and a sentry on the door or the gate at night. And the sheep and the animals would have been kept in the courtyard. Nowadays, we go out into the fields to see the sheep. This time of year is lambing time. So we were driving around the country yesterday, and there we were, all these little sheep, all these sheep who are waiting to give birth to the new lambs of the new year, and they are outside the buildings, the outhouses. But this word, ole, a very interesting word. It's a word that's used in other places in Mark chapter 13, verse 34, when it speaks about Peter and him meeting the doorkeeper. Because the doorkeeper was the one who looked after or marshaled the door. Now, this door and this doorkeeper, the Lord Jesus here is not the doorkeeper. He's the door. He's the one that we enter through. The word entereth in is used many times in this chapter, particularly in those two verses. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, who is this doorkeeper? Well, the doorkeeper would have known the shepherd. And he would have been there, and perhaps he had a staff to beat off thieves, robbers, and sheep stealers. The doorkeeper, perhaps, was a younger member of the shepherd clan, and he would make sure that no one attacked the sheep. The doorkeeper let the shepherds in only. The doorkeeper would have been careful that no one climbed in over the wall. The doorkeeper would ensure that the sheep were safe. Now, some commentators would say that this is an early morning scene. And later on in the chapter, it's an evening scene. And it's interesting to think like that. Because the doorkeeper's job was to look after the sheep in the courtyard overnight. So when the shepherds came in the morning, the doorkeeper was, as it were, relieved of duty. Because the shepherds would come and lead the sheep. Lead the sheep. Isn't it interesting? Throughout the Bible, we never read anywhere that shepherds should drive their sheep. Shepherds were never supposed to stay behind the sheep and chase them forward. Old-time shepherds would lead their sheep. A few years ago, I was in Cyprus, and we were staying with missionaries out there, and we happened to be in the Turkish part of Cyprus, up near Lefkoshia. And as we were out one day and walking, it was early morning because it gets so hot over there, we saw this group of sheep being led along the hillside. And our friend turned to us and said, "That's how the good shepherd leads his sheep. He leads them. Doesn't drive them." Nowadays, our shepherds have all kinds of technology. They have quad bikes and satellite and all kinds of things. Not in Jesus' day. And the Lord Jesus then tells us four things about evil or sheep stealers. He tells us four things to look out for false shepherds. And these are spiritual lessons. The first thing is they don't enter by the door. You could call it, it's four, they don't enter by the door. They don't come up to the doorkeeper or the one who is in the doorway and ask for permission to see the sheep. And that's spiritually, that can be applied. They don't enter by the door. They don't enter because what do? They ignore the door. They bypass the door. In some ways, they put something else in place of the door. In religion, old religion, it used to be rituals and ceremonies. Nowadays, in New Age times, it's feelings and emotions, and dreams and visions. You can know God, you can know Christ through these visions and these dreams. They don't enter by the door. That's the first thing. They ignore the door. They have another gospel. They want other people to, as it were, follow their ways. Paul has a warning for that in Galatians 1. They should be anathema. That's the first thing. They don't enter by the door. Secondly, they come in another way, or better still, they climb up. They climb up, in verse 1, they climb up some other way. Climbing indicates effort, energy. Anyone who's ever tried climbed a tree, and I'm not encouraging us to do so nowadays, but in the old days we used to have great fun climbing trees, and it takes effort. It takes ingenuity. It's amazing what false shepherds will do to get sheep or to distract sheep. Or to sheep steal. The story of Pilgrim's Progress is well known to most. And there were two boys. While Christian was walking along the road to Emmanuel's land, and two boys jumped over the wall. The first boy's name was Formalist, and the other rascal's name was Hypocrisy. And John Bunyan writes these words: "As he was troubled thereabout, he espied two men come tumbling over the wall on the left hand of the narrow way. And they made up a pace to him." Now, Formalist, who's this? Keeps all the rules, does what he's told, follows the religious leaders, but there's no heart, there's no real faith. Hypocrisy looks as if he's a Christian. He looks as if he's somebody who knows Jesus Christ. He speaks about the shepherd. He speaks about God. He maybe even speaks about prayer and speaks about Bible reading, but he doesn't know Christ. He's a hypocrite. And we have plenty of that today. The third aspect of these false teachers is that they find another way. This word here is alaxothen in the Greek, and it is only used once in the New Testament. Just once. Our Lord uses this specific word once, and none of the apostles have used this word at all. This is unique. And it's very important you grasp this. Jesus Christ says, they found another way. Some other way. What are these other ways? Any other way but the way of the gospel. Any other way but the way of humility and repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, we're replete with so many other ways offered today. Look at these God channels. Look at these YouTube videos. They offer every other way but the gospel way. Oh, friends, how precious this gospel is. And how the Lord is warning not only the church of the first century, but the church of every century. Do not think that I do not know that there is many of you trying to form another way. The ecumenical movement is going to get stronger, not weaker. The gospel is the only antidote to ecumenicalism. And what we need to remember is that we don't need another way. The way of Christ is the only way. In the book of Hebrews, we haven't time to touch on it, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostle there, says, Christ is the new and living way. Oh, friends, we look at this next week in detail. Christ laying down his life for his sheep. Oh, look at this, friends. We have one last thing. He describes them. He describes them as thieves and robbers. The word kleptomaniac. Have you ever heard of that word? That's the word we get the first word from. Thief. You know what thieves do? They thieve. But they plan it. They plan it in detail. We're not talking here about petty thieves. We're more talking about people who, like a few years ago, the bank was raided in London, and what they did was they dug under the street. They planned this. False teachers have a way of stealing. They can't steal your salvation, but they can steal your joy. They make it so hard to be a Christian that you lose your joy in the Lord. They steal, they're thieves, and they're robbers. They rob people of the joy of their salvation. They rob the unbeliever of the truth of the gospel. They rob the believer of the glories of heaven. Oh, friends, this is the Lord. How does the shepherd know his sheep? How does the sheep know his shepherd? We'll look at that in a moment. Just very briefly, which door are you trying to enter to be saved this morning? The door that Christ sets before you, he's the door, or some other door? Which shepherd are you following for eternal life? Who are you following on the internet? Who are you following on social media? Who are you following in your reading? Who are you following? Are they someone, I trust they're all men, but are they men who are pointing you to Christ? To honor him, to worship him, to serve him. The only door our shepherd. Let's move, secondly, the only door for the sheep. Oh, the Lord Jesus. Now, maybe I majored a little too much on the negative, but let's look at the positive. For the last 2 points, two very beautiful points. I am the door of the sheep. I was reading a book this week. I was very struck by it. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come into the world to save goats. He came into the world to save sheep. As far as I know, and I didn't look after many goats when I was a boy, but I did look after a few sheep. Goats are independent, insolent. determined to do whatever they want. Their whole nature is bent on rebellion against anyone who looks after them. And by the way, a man who or a woman who looks after goats is not called a shepherd, it's called a goat's herd. Goats are disobedient. I'm sure the children here aren't disobedient. But Jesus Christ didn't come into the world to save goats. He came into the world to save his sheep. And he knew from eternity who his sheep would be. And he knew exactly those sheep by name. And we'll see that in a moment. But let me put the question to you in another way. How do I know I'm a true follower of the God Shepherd, of the Good Shepherd? How do I know that I have entered into eternal life, truly eternal life, through the only door? Well, look at this. How the Lord says in verse 3, to whom the porter openeth and the sheep hear his voice. The word there is akouo or exuo, which we get the word acoustic. If you go into one of these grand buildings, paneled walls, wooden floors, and you hear some of these opera singers singing or some of these people who have beautiful voices, it echoes all around. If you go to some of these particular buildings that were built for acoustics, that's the word. You hear. You hear. Now, this doesn't say you hear with an audible voice, but it implies that you hear from his word. You've read his word. And you hear him, but there's something very distinct here. In verse 3, he calleth his own sheep by name. Oh, Christian, can you grasp this? I can't grasp this fully. That the Lord Jesus Christ knows all of our names. There are 8 billion people in the world, maybe 9 billion. I didn't look at the numbers recently. But it's constantly going up. 8.5 billion, I believe. And the Lord knows all of the names of all of his people, all of the time. He calleth us by name. There's a lovely hymn that was written by one of the hymn writers. Have you heard the voice of Jesus softly pleading with your heart? Isn't it lovely the Lord Jesus isn't described as a harsh shepherd who shouts and bawls at his sheep? He calls his sheep. He loves his sheep. That's the first thing. You hear him. But secondly, known as this, you hear him and he calls your name. And that was through the gospel preaching or through your parents bringing you up in the gospel or a Sunday school teacher that taught you the gospel. But you heard that name. You heard that name, your name being called. And then secondly, he leads you out. He leads you out. He knows his own sheep. They belong to him. That's why the Lord's my shepherd is so precious to believers. Even when you go to a believer's funeral, often they'll have the Lord's my shepherd because Christ has been their shepherd. And you can say this morning, dear Christian, he's my shepherd. And I'm his sheep. And how did I ever become one of his? By entering in through the door, who is Christ. He leads us. And lastly, we will not follow false shepherds. That's not easy. But the Lord tells us, when he putteth forth in verse 4, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger, verse 5, will they not follow. He goeth before them. That's a beautiful picture. Wherever he leads, follow him. Whatever valley he leads you into, follow him. Whatever mountain you're going to climb, follow him. Whatever trough you're going to go through, follow him. Follow him because he's gone before you. His footsteps are there before you. He will lead you on. That's how we know that we are his sheep. We hear his voice. We hear his voice and he calls us by name. We know we're belonging to him and we follow him. and we won't follow false shepherds. I was speaking to an old shepherd a few years ago at a county show. And I was asking him, he had a different sheep in his pen, and I said, which ones do you know are yours? And he says, well, I've got 100 sheep, which isn't a very big flock. This is back in England. But each one is marked. Each one is marked with a distinct mark. But then he looked at me very wise and he says, because I've only got 100 sheep, I know the characteristics, the mannerisms, and even the faces of most of these sheep. He spent his whole life with his flock. He knew his flock inside out. He knew their marks. He knew their ticks. He knew their temperaments. He knew everything about them. And yet our Lord Jesus knows more even than that. He knows everything about you and I. And yet, he loves his sheep nonetheless. What a privilege to be one of Christ's sheep. What a privilege to be a Christian in these days. First of all, we looked at the only door, our shepherd. Secondly, Christ is the only door for his sheep. Thirdly and finally, Christ is the only door to salvation. In verse 9, look at these words. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. How would you have responded that day if you have heard this message from this wonderful teacher who's using this ordinary language to express deep truths? What would your response have been? Would you have said, I want to know him for myself? Maybe you'd been brought up in a good Jewish home and you'd been taught the Psalms, you memorized the Psalms, and maybe you reflected back and thought, Psalm 23 and Ezekiel and in Jeremiah we have these pictures of the shepherd. Could this be the shepherd? The Lord Jesus, as it were, gives this climactic claim. He says, I am the door of the sheep. By me, through me, enter through me. What will happen? What will happen? Well, he tells us, he shall be saved. Not he might be saved. Not if possible he'll be saved. Not if he's good enough will he be saved. Not if he earns it will he be saved. But he shall be saved. On the basis of God's holy word. And according to this claim, you can come to Christ this morning and say, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. What does that mean? Well, it means this. The word in the original language is a beautiful word. He that enters in. Remember he used the word entereth in verse 1. And in verse 2, and in verse 2 and verse 4, he entereth in. He entereth in. You need to enter in. I need to enter in. That's how the response would have been. Only those who have an open mind and an open heart to the things of God will want to enter in. Verse 2, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. That's speaking about false shepherds. Verse 2, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. But now, not only are we looking at the shepherd of the sheep, now we're looking at the sheep of the shepherd. They enter in. This is
This is gospel language. Notice it not. You have some capacity to decide. You must enter in if you're ever to become one of his sheep. That's the first thing, he must enter in. But secondly, the promise is that he shall be saved. Oh, the shalls of God are not the shalls of men. If it's a nice day tomorrow, we might go somewhere. God doesn't put it like that. He shall, most definitely, on divine authority, he shall be saved. And he won't just be saved temporarily. The Greek text doesn't give us that impression. It says he shall be saved forever. He shall be saved and never lost. He shall be saved and always with the shepherd, both in life and in death. He shall be saved. What a truth. What a truth that false teachers cannot preach. Their teaching is based on our works, or as I said, or nowadays it's all about other strange ideas, but the Lord Jesus says, if you enter through me, you shall be saved. Oh, we see too little of this. To be saved? To be saved from what, friends? To be saved from eternal hell? To be saved from God's holy wrath, whom in Romans chapter 2, the unbelievers despise? They despise God's wrath. To be saved from the fires of eternal judgment. But what are you saved to? What are you saved to? You're saved to know Christ as your Savior in life and in death. You're saved to know that when you leave this world, as we'll read in John 14, there's a mansion prepared for us. You're saved so that you'll know the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We haven't time to look at all these texts. Through this life. You're saved so you can enjoy fellowship with God. In not only in glory, but in the new heavens and the new earth. Saved. How little we preach about these things. How little we think about these things. How little we meditate on these things. Oh, the shepherd. Next week we'll see how he saves us. It's a study in itself. The good shepherd. His perfect, holy, spotless, sinless shepherd. How is he going to save me? Well, the crowd would discover just a little while later when they saw the shepherd on the cross. And the Christian can say he saved me when I came to him and trusted him as my Savior. Oh, he's the door of the sheep. Have you entered in? Have you? I've heard over the years of people that were very highly regarded in Christian circles, but they turned out not to be sheep at all. They turned out to be goats. And I don't know your heart. And I'm not able to say that everyone I've ever met who claimed to be a Christian was a Christian, but I trust you're a Christian. And you're a sheep. And what are you going to tell the world this week? Who are you going to bring into this meeting tonight? The gospel meeting. Who are you going to bring in? Who are you going to pray for? Aren't you going to pray for someone to be awakened to their own need? Who are you going to reach next week in the open air? You're going to reach some, we believe, for whom Christ died. And they don't know it. They're not yet sheep. Some of them might come to you and be opposed initially. But the Lord softens hard hearts. The good shepherd calls his own sheep. Why do we read the Bible at church instead of poetry? Because in the Bible, Jesus is speaking. In this book, the shepherd is calling. Why do we preach the old gospel and not the new one? Because the old gospel saves and the new one doesn't. Why do we preach Christ and him crucified? Because on that grounds, the good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. Oh, friends, go home and be rejoicing. You have come through the door of the sheep, I trust. You are trusting in the shepherd this morning. We're going to sing his hymn in a moment. We sang Psalm 23, and that was a reason for that. Because in that psalm, the good shepherd is portrayed as leading and guiding and feeding his sheep. And we're going to sing this final hymn in this part of the service. The King of Love, my shepherd is, his goodness faileth never. Our Lord and our Saviour, we pray, seal these words to our hearts. May we truly have entered into eternal life through the door who is Christ, thy beloved Son. And bless each dear one in this place this morning. And watch over us and keep us as we continue in worship together for Christ's sake. Amen.